hundreds of people packed an auditorium in Kabul, Afghanistan in February 2005 to hear the first musician to play in public since the fall of the Taliban. Even more remarkable is that she's a female musician, Sufala, a New York-based tabla player. Sufala is the protege of the Indian tabla masters Ustad Al-Raja and Ustad Zakir Hussain, and artists she has recorded and or performed with include Nora Jones, Perry Farrell of Jane's Addiction, Sean Lennon, Harper Simon, Yoko Ono, Edie Brickell, Vernon Reed of Living Color, DJ Spooky, Vijay Iyer, Joan Osborne, Kelly Clarkson, the list goes on and on and on. Sufala's new album, Blueprint, is a fusion of traditional tabla and electronic music, and I'm very pleased to welcome her to our show. Hi.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
Now, as I understand it, you were born in India, but you've lived here pretty much all your life?
Yeah, I grew up in the States, and I go back to India every winter to study this instrument.
Well, when did you first start thinking of playing tabla? Tabla is two drums.
Yes.
I'm not sure a lot of kids come to that at a very early age.
Well, in India they do. You know, they start very young. I started in my teen years after playing classical piano for many years. And the drums and the tabla and the rhythms just took over, and that ended up being the instrument for me.
If I were in India and going to a concert of classical Indian music, would I be likely to see a woman playing tabla?
Probably not. But there are a few. There are a few, but out of many hundreds of males and boys and men.
And then a couple of girls.
Well,
but in America, we don't see many women playing drums either, the Western-style drums. There are a few.
Yeah, exactly. Drums,
but they're more
in
likely
general
to play the melodic instruments.
Yes. This seems to be the case around the world.
Well, when you became interested, could you study here, or did you have to go to India to study?
Well, both. Zakir Hussain lives in this country, so I've studied from him here, and then I studied from his father in India. And, you know, it was important to spend a lot of time in India where the art is from and where you can see it being played and being done well. So going back and forth is key.
Are there any self-taught tabla players, or would that be impossible?
I think they exist, but I suppose if you want to further the art, you've got to study from a guru who holds the knowledge, because nothing's written down. We don't have books. You have to learn these rhythms from a teacher.
And since Indian music involves really complicated rhythmic patterns, I'd imagine this is not the same as learning how to play 4-4 with a pair of sticks in a rock band.
Yes, this is true. You have to make all your fingers strong and learn how to think in microbeats and in 7 and 9 and all sorts of interesting, odd timings.
Also, the tabla has a lot of different tones to it, so you have to know just where to hit it to get all those different notes.
It's true. It's very, very melodic drum. So I suppose this is why, you know, all these people you mentioned become attracted to it, and it's very versatile. So we have these rhythms and these melodies to work with on these two small drums.
How did you wind up being the first musician to perform publicly in Kabul after the fall of the Taliban?
Well, I decided to go there. I had a close friend living there who was from here, and she organized a concert, and we decided to go for it. And I went. I spent a week there. The television station in Kabul, which was new at the time, did a documentary, followed me around in a blizzard that they had after 15 years. And I played a concert. I met the local musicians, heard their stories of what it was like to be under Taliban rule and trying to play music, which was not allowed. And then, you know, I got a chance to sit with them and to share this music that is actually Hindustani classical music, the same kind we learn in India. So
Indian music and Afghan music have a lot in common?
Yes, they do, because the musicians there were actually originally brought by a king in Afghanistan from India, so the same music was brought over. So immediately we could sit down and talk tabla rhythms, or, you know, just sit and play. So that was fascinating, and that historic element.
Well, we tend to forget that Afghanistan borders on Pakistan, which used to be part of the greater India, the Indian subcontinent.
Exactly.
And so the cultural, there's a lot of cross-cultural fertilization.
Yeah. I mean, Buddha was hanging out in Afghanistan once upon a time. So much has changed.
Now, I said that you were the first musician to perform in public. Obviously, these musicians were performing. This is the first time for them as well? Had they all been in hiding until this opportunity presented itself?
That's what I was told. We inaugurated a new hall there. So since then, there have been concerts. But these musicians had mostly fled. They were either in Pakistan or in Europe, and they'd come back to live and to try and cultivate the music again. And they were teaching. There was a school. So it was just at the brink of a new society coming up.
And I'm assuming because there have been so many restrictions on women in general in Afghanistan that this was the first time that any of these Afghan musicians had played music with a woman.
That's what they told me. They said they'd never even heard of this. So I'm sure there were females playing music at some point in time in Afghanistan, but especially the tabla, and today it was a totally new thing for them.
Was this an easier adjustment for you than playing with Western musicians who don't work in the Indian tradition, like Nora Jones or Sean Lennon? Forget about Yoko Ono, who is out of some tradition. I still am not exactly sure.
Yeah, well, you know, all these things have happened organically and come naturally to me. You know, these artists I work with over here are friends of mine, and it just comes down to music. The same thing happened in Afghanistan, whereas perhaps it was a surprise for them to see me. When it came time to play music, all the preconceived notions seemed to disappear, and we were able to focus on the sound.
And I'm assuming there's a lot of improvisation. Or are there certain basic rules that cut down on improvisation?
There's both. There are the basic rules, and then using those, we try and improvise.
My guest is Sufala, whose latest album is called Blueprints, which is a kind of a fusion of contemporary Western music with Indian music, something that's been going on, I guess, ever since the Beatles started breaking down those barriers. Have you been back to Afghanistan since?
No, I haven't. I'm thinking about it. And I think a lot's changed since I was there. I've heard there are fancy hotels now in Kabul that weren't there before. There's also a lot of chaos still. So,
and women are still being repressed and forced to wear the burqa?
I have a feeling that's probably the case. Although it was interesting to find that even though I showed up with, you know, my head covered, just thinking that that's what I needed to do, I found that, you know, it was really not necessary. When I was well taken care of, and these people didn't expect that of me. So, in some circumstances, it's really much more chilled out than I thought.
You have this new album. We still call them albums, I guess, even though they're CDs. Why did you call it Blueprint?
Well, it's an idea and a concept saying that a recording is one idea, and we can take that one idea and interpret it in many ways. So when we play live, we play it in different instruments, different improvisations of that one idea. In addition to that, as a listener, each person has their own experience with the songs. So really, it's just a prototype for something else.
You've played with a lot of children of famous musicians, Nora Jones, Harper Simon, Sean Lennon. Is that just a coincidental situation?
I think so. I think it's a result of being in New York. Perhaps the musical influences we all grew up with as well. And then, you know, my teachers being like family to me. So perhaps there is some collective unconscious thing going on.
And you have a lot of different people on this CD, including a number of different people doing vocals. Is that something you would prefer to do rather than put together a band?
Well, it's, you know, it's something I roll out of bed. I go to my studio and lay down an idea and start thinking which musician would sound good on this or that. And I call them up, and luckily they agree and they come and do what they're good at. So I like to keep it organic that way.
And a number of different people have done the vocals here, including some well-known singers. But then there are some unattributed vocals.
Yes, this is true. There's Edie Brickell, there's Victor Duplay, there's lots of other artists.
Harper Simon.
And then, you know, all the other sounds that you probably don't see who's done what, is they're made by me, and they're including some vocals. So, you know, these are things I can do in the privacy of my own studio.
I'm sure that you're over-recording your vocals, because it's almost impossible to play some of these complicated rhythms and sing at the same time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all multi-track recording. So I layer all these different sounds and ideas and then, you know, work with them after and arrange things and edit and basically engineer the whole track.
You've started a fund called Quantum Shift. What does Quantum Shift do?
Well, Quantum Shift was a benefit concert I put together to help the earthquake victims in Pakistan. And we did a concert here in New York and raised some money. And that was where Yoko Ono came to perform, and Edie Brickell and Harper. And everyone was just so generous in helping out. And then since I go to India every year, I thought, well, this way I can go to Pakistan, deliver the funds, find out who's really doing what and helping out and physically be there. So I was able to do that, and it was great to see so many people helping in that country.
Well, you obviously have a strong social conscience. Do you think it's a responsibility of people who perform to help others if they in this kind of way?
Well, I think any compassionate person feels like helping when they see people in need. In this case, you know, I felt a connection to this country, it being so close to India, and also the massive amount of people that were displaced. It was beyond what happened in the tsunami, yet it wasn't getting the same kind of attention. So I felt compelled to do something.
We started off by playing a track called Unwind You. When you do a CD of this sort, do you have certain tracks that you think, like in the old days, oh, this is going to be the hit from the album?
Well, I don't know about the hit, but I like to see what people respond to. And when I put a playlist together or a collection of songs, I like a huge variety. So that's what I was thinking of when doing this record. There's a track like Unwind You, and then there's a track like Aromatic, which is a totally different feeling, which, you know, is much more up-tempo. So I like to put together a collection of things.
Well, I don't know what we're going to go out with. Maybe it will be Aromatic. I'm told that I have been told what you're going to play, but I don't see it. Anyway, the album is called Blueprints, and I am very pleased that I've had this opportunity to speak to Sufala, who is probably the world's foremost tabla player, right? Are you teaching as well? Can a woman become a master, a tabla master?
Oh, well, you know, we'll see. I like to be a student, and there's always something to learn. And there are many great tabla players, and including, of course, the great Zakir Hussain. And so it's great for me to have the opportunity to learn from people like that.
Actually, I've just been informed that we're going out with maybe there's a place where someday you and I can go.
Yep.
And let's hope that Kabul will be one of those places someday where we'll all feel safe, or Baghdad.
Yeah.
Or Islamabad.
Why not?
Maybe there's a place where someday just you and I can go.